Good morning, everyone. How we doing? Good morning, church family. Good to be here with you this morning. If we're meeting for the first time, my name is Tony Peterson. I have the great honor and privilege to serve here as the minister of the Frederick Church of Christ. I'd like to welcome everyone that's joining us here in person, everyone that's joining us live on Zoom. Good morning to you and welcome, church family. This day we have a guest speaker, Mr. Jeff Holland. He's from Pioneer Bible Translators, and he's going to be bringing the Word of God to us today. So as we prepare for what God is going to use Jeff to speak to us, let's pray that we can till our soil to be prepared to hear what God has for us. I want to just announce just a few things that are coming up here at the Frederick Church of Christ. One of the things that we have going on this coming Saturday is the Soup Kitchen Community Action Agency. I think our church has been doing that for approximately 381 years, and we'd like to make it 382. So if you haven't had a chance to sign up, the sheet is still over there on the table at the top of the steps. We'd love to have your help with doing that. Tomorrow at 6:30 is our Young Adult Fellowship group over in the Fellowship Hall. We'll share a meal, and then we'll have a devotional style discussion after that. And one of the things, I have a special ask of our church. So one of the things you guys always really impress me with is you guys do a phenomenal job of collecting things for the local food pantry, the rescue mission, all that sort of stuff. We're going to continue to do all those things. I had a special request from a fellow Frederick Church member who the local Frederick Church, not here, that they do a program called Celestial Manna. Celestial Manna. And what they do is they collect food items and they put them in boxes and they take them to people that are shut-ins and otherwise really physically can't get out to get food items. And they're in need of one particular item, and it's canned protein, like canned tuna, canned salmon, canned chicken, all those sort of things. So I said, I'm going to put it out. Our church always does a really, really good job coming together with specific items. So if it's on your heart, if you're able, if you're out at the store, try to grab a little bit of canned protein. One more thing has come to my attention that next Sunday is what's called Scout Sunday. Now, I did not know that. So growing up in Baltimore, just kind of full disclosure, at least in my experience, I didn't know one Boy Scout growing up. I don't know if this was just a local thing for me, or I mean, I'd see Boy Scouts on TV and stuff like that, and I thought that's where they were. I thought they were just on TV. I didn't know that the Boy Scouts was an actual thing, and yet they have a celebration of their, I think, David, is it the anniversary of the founding of Boy Scouts? Next Sunday. Okay. And so, okay. Yep. And one of the things that they do is they celebrate that by going to places of worship. So if you are or have participated in Boy Scouts or you know people, invite them and feel free to wear your uniform. I have a, I'm thinking that we might have some guests in the house next week that maybe are unchurched from the Boy Scouts. And so I think it'll be an opportunity for us. So if you know any Boy Scouts, if you've been a part of it, feel free to wear your uniform next Sunday. Last thing, we'll be starting a 8-week series on Mondays, not tomorrow, a week from tomorrow. It's going to be held on Mondays, and we're probably going to do it on two different time slots. Don't hold me to this. We're thinking maybe 11 and 7. I'll make a more specific announcement next week. But what we're doing, it's called a Life's Healing Choices 8-week Bible study. And what that Bible study is based on the eight recovery principles for Celebrate Recovery. Essentially, what it is biblical sin recovery. It's a healing 8-week study. So, if you're interested in doing that, just keep that in mind. We're going to be starting that on a week from tomorrow. With that being said, let's pray and go to our Heavenly Father. Father God, we come to you, Lord, and we thank you so much for everything that you're doing in our lives. Lord, I know that we all walk in here on a Sunday morning having experienced all different types of struggles and issues and triumphs all at the same time in our lives. And Lord, wherever we find ourselves today, Lord, I hope that we can see you and hear you clearly today. Father, we know that your word is alive and active. Father, we know that you are speaking to us through it here today. And Father, I pray that our hearts will be prepared to hear what you have for us today, not just as information, but that it leads to our transformation, Lord, that we walk out of here different than the way we came in, so that all the glory may go to you, Lord. Father, it's in your Son, Jesus' holy matchless name we all pray. Amen.
As we gather around the table to commune this morning, if you've not picked up the elements of communion, feel free to get up now and get them from the foyer. As we have a few thoughts as we share this meal together. A week or so ago, I saw something on a podcast that really struck me as a little bit odd and in a way that I had not thought about the resurrection before. It is a clip of a podcast from the Robertson family, which most of you know from Duck Dynasty fame. And, you know, they're a little bit odd, but this really kind of shook me a bit because I had not thought of the resurrection in this way. And it was said on this podcast that Jesus didn't need the stone rolled away. That was kind of a moment. And it's really true. Think of it. We serve a risen Savior who could have left the tomb in any way. And the stone was not rolled from that tomb for Jesus' benefit. The stone was rolled from the tomb for our benefit. Because Mary was on her way to see, and human unbelief and the limits of the human mind had to be able to see that empty tomb to really believe. And as I think of the whole crucifixion and resurrection story, I think of Crucifixion Friday and the enormity of that and how intense it must have been to live through that day for those that were present. And think of the temple's curtain being torn and earthquakes and clouds and darkness and all the things that happened in enormity. And yet, by very vast contrast, Resurrection Sunday was extremely quiet and subtle. And as I think of the elements that we gather here, these little tiny elements, we call this a feast or a supper. This is very, very subtle remembrance that we have here. In human terms, I don't even think this is a point on the Weight Watcher scale. You know, this is not, we would look at this and this is not real sustenance in our physical form, yet it calls us to remember and reflect on something so huge. And in our culture, the way we gather around the table here in America is very quiet and subtle. And Jeff, I appreciate the words you shared this morning about how in different cultures, the Lord's Supper is taken and appreciated in different ways. But as we gather around this table in a very subtle and quiet way today, think of how God interacts with you and in your life. And yes, there are times in your life that maybe God flashes and stands in front of you like the biggest billboard in all of Times Square or Vegas to get your attention. But sometimes God instead is going to whisper to you in a very quiet voice that if you're not still and listening, you're going to miss. And so as I think about that tomb and that stone being rolled away, and good grief, Jesus had the power to come out any way that we saw fit. That stone was moved for our benefit so that we can believe in this moment and realize that he is our Savior and that he reigns forever with God. Let us give thanks for the bread as we think on this sacrifice this morning. Almighty God, our Father, we are grateful for the gift of Christ, the gift of his body that was given in our stead. And as we partake of this bread, while it may be subtle and small, we pray that you'll bless it and bless us as we partake. Draw us closer together to one another and draw us closer to you in this moment, Lord. We pray all this in Christ's name. Amen. And let us continue in prayer for the cup. Father God, for the blood that was shed on that cruel cross, we are truly grateful, for we know that it's that blood that washes us clean and brings us in a right relationship with you. We ask you to bless this cup, that you will draw us close in this moment, that we will understand the enormity of the sacrifice that Christ gave for us. We pray in his precious name. Amen.
Well, I think we're in for a good time today. Let me try this again. All right. I think we're in for a good time today. I'm really excited to be here. You know, in Togo, when you walk for about an hour to go to church, you want something out of it. And so when you've got another hour to walk, you want to make sure that your spirit's been filled, because you're going to get hungry by the time you get home. And so I was thinking when I was preparing there in Dallas, I was like, okay, well, football season's over. And so, you know, nobody's going to have anything to do here. And then I got here to Baltimore the other day and realized, oh, football season's not over for everyone. Yeah. So I come to you basically in my Texas way and say, howdy, partners. And partners is a great word to start us off, because you are our partners. One of the things that we are your partners. And together, we get to work together around the world for all kinds of amazing things. Pioneer Bible Translators does a lot of translation. I'm terrible at translation. I lived in Togo for 12 years, and I hated it when Americans came, because then I had to translate. And I could speak the language pretty good on my own. I had even learned French before that. But when it came to being able to translate and help other people to communicate with each other, I was sorry. And so this morning, I want you to know that I come on behalf of people around the world who not only are translating, they are also church planters, and they're doing works in all kinds of ways to present the gospel to people. And you are partnering with us. So thank you so much for this. You know, as I was preparing the other day, I typed up all my notes, and it was really great. I got them typed up, and I was ready. I got on the plane, and I was like, I don't really like it. And so I rewrote it, and I was ready for that. And then after meeting your folks here yesterday, I was like, oh, man, none of the sermons that I prepared are right for today. So you guys may actually get out in time today to go see your whatever those raven things are called around here, because this is my sermon. Lucky you. So, yeah, one of the fun things is I did get to meet some of you over the weekend, and I've been pretty amazed. I felt like Paul going into Athens. You know, and he walked around and he got to see all the different things that were going on in Athens. And then he decided he'd talk. I thought I knew what you guys needed to hear, and I was wrong. And as I listened to your stories and I got to know your people, I was like, oh, Lord, work in a different way. And I really felt like he had a message for us. And I hope it was right. I'm just listening to the Lord. It's been 15 years we've been partnering together. Bert, you newcomers, that's a great name, because you never change. I mean, it's been 15 years and you don't look a day older, either one of you. When I get to come in here, you know, it's different. Yesterday, eating breakfast with some of the guys, I got to eat things that I have never eaten before. What's that stuff that we had yesterday? Scrapple. That's it. Scrapple. I tried it for the first time. My bowels decided to revolt later. I will never eat scrapple again, I don't think, but I have. I learned that in Togo. You eat what's put in front of you, because you may not eat again for another 24 hours or so. So I ate scrapple, and I am none the better for it. And my best time, though, was with the people, listening to your stories, looking into your lives, understanding how God is working in you in ways that's not like it was 15 years ago. This is not the same congregation. There's been a lot of change. And you guys have stuck with Brenda and me and our work. And I know it hasn't been easy at times. there's been some financial struggles that I can only imagine. And I want to tell you from the bottom of my heart that I'm thankful for the way that you have allowed our family to minister to people around the world. I do a lot of it by Zoom. I'm counseling people as a marriage and family therapist in different parts of the world. And I have people come back to the U.S. and I'm working with them and I'm helping prepare care strategies so that we can keep our people vitalized. And I get to go and I work in places like the Middle East, and I get to go to places like Ukraine, and I go to other places in the world in Asia. And then I get to come to a place like this and I see the Lord working among you and you working among others so that Jesus makes a difference here in Frederick, just like he is in other places. It's contagious. And I want to applaud you guys. I applaud you for allowing the Lord to work through you, and things like showers, things that I wouldn't have thought of as a common ministry. And so together we work to, and we want to see things happen. You know, in counseling, one of the things that I kind of use as a premise is that it's hard to know where people need to go if they don't know where they've been. Think of that for a minute. It's hard to know where you want to go if you don't know where you've already been. And so when I get into people's lives as a counselor, I'm often trying to find out, how did we get to this point? What's happened in the past? What brought you to where you are today? And we peel back the layers and we see what God is up to. Jesus was somebody, in all of his teachings, he didn't just teach about what he wanted to say that day. His teachings almost always reflected truths from the Old Testament. He was a rabbi. He was the kind that knew the text inside and out. And so he reflected and he brought people to reflect back to what was going on in the Old Testament. I was saying this morning in our classes that it's so neat to see the words of Jesus, and we have New Testaments in thousands of languages now. But there are only 750 languages that have the Old and New Testament, which means that, yeah, they get to learn about Jesus, but they don't realize how many of his teachings were coming out of the richness of the Old Testament. We still got a lot of work to do around the world. And together, Frederick and people in Texas and people from around the world, we're going out and trying to make a difference. But as we look back, Jesus recorded so many of his words, and he used the book of Deuteronomy more than any other book of the Old Testament. I think that's really interesting. Deuteronomy is a book of reflection. And we're going to look into some of those reflections because there's this word that's used over and over. In Hebrew, it would be zakar, which means remember. Remember who you are. Remember where you've been. Remember what happened to you. And often in life, we don't like that. We try to get away from looking back and we're like future oriented. We just want to figure out where we're going next. But Deuteronomy is an important book because Moses is looking back at all their history and he's getting them ready to go into the new land, the promised land. And he says, remember who you are. You can't go in until you remember where you've been. You can't go in unless you remember where you've been. And you don't need to be embarrassed. You need to be changed. Let's go back to what he was reminding them of. Genesis chapter 12. Hope you can use your Bibles with me today. I'm going to pull some stuff out of scripture. So let's kind of get used to it. You can use this one or your paper one. Genesis 12, verse 3. That's where I want us to go, but I want you to see what's happened here in 12. The Lord had said to Abram, leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. Abram has no idea where he's going. He's been in a place called Ur. Pretty exciting place, I guess. And so God says, I'm going to show you this place. He's got a wife, and Abram knows she's barren. I think he married her knowing that she could not have children. That's what kind of man he was. I think that's one of the reasons God chose him. In verse 2, it says, I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And then catch this. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. That's pulled up a couple of times in the New Testament because they're reflecting back and they're saying somehow or another, they forgot that the whole earth will be blessed through you. Isaac and Jacob, they get the same blessing, but there's something a little different. This little piece at the end seems to be left out. But God's message to Abram was, I'm going to bless you. Why? So that you bless every nation on earth. It wasn't just to create Israel as this great nation. He wanted to, but he wanted Israel to bless every nation. That's our heritage. As we reflect back, we see that. And the promise does go to Isaac. Isaac was a pretty good guy. Made some bad parenting decisions, in my opinion. But he's a pretty good guy. Then we get to Jacob. Jacob was a scoundrel. Name meaning deceiver and all these kind of things. He's a jerk. And I think some of his jerkiness is what ends up getting him in trouble, and his kids end up starving. But thank the Lord that his rascal kids sold one of the brothers into slavery. And he ends up saving the whole crew. And Joseph is over there. And God uses Joseph and blesses the family. Keeps the promise alive. Because you know what? They messed it up. They were messed up people over and over. The Bible is not a history book of great stories of faithful people. It is a story of a great and faithful God. Thank the Lord he didn't need Jeff Holland to be good or perfect. He needed to be both good and perfect and show through me. And hopefully I can catch up with him in some ways. And so Joseph is there and they come in. And the next thing you know, it all goes downhill. They're all slaves now. 400 years in captivity in Egypt. 400 years they're stuck there. And then Moses shows up. I want you to see something with me over in Exodus. Let's go a little bit further down. Exodus chapter 4. God took it personally. The Egyptians had helped, and then they took advantage of God's people. God was a God of promise. He had been trying to see this thing go. And then let's look in Exodus chapter 4, verse 21. The Lord said to Moses, when you return to Egypt, see that you perform before Pharaoh all the wonders I have given you the power to do. But I will harden his heart so that he will not let the people go. And then say to Pharaoh, this is what the Lord says. Israel is my firstborn son. And I told you, let my son go so that he may worship me. But you refuse to let him go. And so I will kill your firstborn. I don't know how I've read the Bible so many times and missed that. I always think of Jesus as God's firstborn. But the first time he uses the term firstborn son is for the nation of Israel. And he says, you took my firstborn, you made them slaves 400 years, you're going to pay, Pharaoh, and you'll lose your firstborn son. And we know the story. They get out. They're given riches as they leave the country. And as they're leaving, they go in and they get scared over and over again. They make stupid decisions over and over again. They don't listen to Caleb and Joshua, and they don't get to enter into the land of promise so fast. Moses has to go up on the mountain, and he gets the Ten Commandments and comes down and sees worshiping of golden calves and breaks the tablets, and they have to go through that whole process again. These people, I don't know how God had his patience with them. if we remember, we remember that we often make the same mistakes over and over. And God sees his people, and they have messed up over and over again. Moses is talking to God on one of these occasions, and he's like, God's like, I think I'm done. And Moses is like, please, Lord, you know, what are they going to think about you on these other countries if they see this? I don't think that he just talked God off the mount, or off the ledge there. I think it just shows that God was so disappointed with his people. And yet, God continues to be with them. There's another time that Moses is there, and the people have started complaining and grumbling again, and God's like, enough. And he lets these snakes go wild on them, and they start biting people. And then the weirdest thing in the world to me, he tells Moses to get this bronze snake head, put it up on a stick, and if the people look at it, they're going to get saved. Strange. Strange. After living in Togo, which has all kinds of idols and a lot of bronze and all this kind of stuff, I realized that, you know, it's so easy to look to things to save us. And for some reason, God allowed them to look at something because they couldn't keep their eyes on him. And he saved them in spite of themselves over and over and over again. And as they've left, they're having all these times, and they're called to remember. They have their feast, the Passover feasts that come every year, and they zakar, they remember. I want us to look over into Deuteronomy 10 for a minute, because this is going to be some of the stuff that they're supposed to remember as they get ready to go into the promised land. The Lord has finally got them ready. 40 years have gone on. They've had their people. All the adults are basically dying off except for Jacob and Caleb and, boy, I messed that one up, didn't I? Except for Caleb and Joshua. And so Caleb and Joshua and the rest of and this new generation are getting ready to go in. And I want you to hear what Moses is telling them. This is Deuteronomy 10:14. To the Lord your God belong the heavens, even the highest heavens, the earth and everything in it. Yet the Lord set his affection on your forefathers and loved them. Now, remember, the forefathers here are the guys like Abram, Isaac, Jacob, scoundrels sometimes, deceivers sometimes. None of them were perfect. And he says, the Lord set his affections upon them. He had promised them something. He wanted the promise to come true. It says he loved them and he chose you, their descendants, above all nations as it is today. Circumcise your hearts, therefore, and do not be stiff-necked any longer. For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality and accepts no bribes. In other words, he's not like all the powers that be. He's not like the Egyptians. He's not like the Canaanites. He is a different kind of leader. Verse 18, he defends the cause of the fatherless and the widow and loves the alien, giving him food and clothing. Sit there for just a second. Your God's not like all the other gods who want power and prestige, the fancy stuff. Your God is the God who looks out for the aliens, the foreigners, the oppressed, the fatherless orphans. He looks out for the widows. He's looking for all of these. And you are to love them. This is verse 19. And you are to love those who are aliens, for you yourselves were aliens in Egypt. Why? Why do we love? God loved, sure. But why do we love? Because we're not any different. None of us are perfect. All of us have had our backgrounds. They had their Egypt. You and I, we have ours. And in verse 20, fear the Lord your God and serve him. Hold fast to him and take your oath in his name. He is your praise. He is your God who performed for for you those great and awesome wonders you saw with your own eyes. Your forefathers who went down into Egypt were 70 in all, and now the Lord your God has made you as numerous as the stars in the sky. The promise came true. The promise was you were going to be a great nation, like the stars in the sky. You're supposed to bless the whole earth. And now it's time. As you go into the promised land, it's so that you can be a promise. I want you just to turn over a couple of pages, probably. Let's go over to Deuteronomy 24, verse 17 through 21. Do not deprive the alien or the fatherless of justice. So give equal justice to everybody. No partiality. Don't take the cloak of a widow as a pledge. So if somebody borrows from you and you say, you know what? I don't know if you're going to pay me back. Give me your cloak. He said, don't ever do that to a widow. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt and the Lord your God redeemed you from there. And that is why I commanded you to do this. And then he goes into harvesting. He says, when you get your harvest, when you get your grapes, when you get your olives, leave some. Why? Because you've got people among you in need. This is something that I think a lot of the church has missed, and Frederick has figured out. We glean when we do our work, meaning we leave things for people who are in need. We make sure people get showers. We make sure people get food. We make sure that people get housing when they need it. We are people who come together, and sometimes it's through the word of God, and sometimes it's through things like my wife's organization gets to do, where they get to go in and they bring in literacy, or they bring in forms of development like healthcare or education. And so we make a difference in our communities. And so I'm preaching to the choir here. You guys have been able to look back and know who you are. You know that you're not this perfect people. You don't raise yourself up on pedestals, and I am impressed. But don't let it go to your heads. That's what happened to my Cowboys. Don't get impressed, because then you do like Dak. I want you to remember who you are. We're imperfect people. We are people who are in need. And because we were aliens, because we were orphans, because we are widows, we make a difference. And I love the way Jesus brings it back, and he brings them to a whole message of looking back to in order to go forward. I want you just to go back with me or down further into the story of God and the way he works with his people into the book of John. This is John 3, and you know, a lot of you today are going to see something in the stands. Maybe if you guys can pick a, or do a field goal or something, somebody behind the end zone is going to be up there with a John 3:16. When you see it, I want you to think of it differently today, because Jesus is doing this reflection thing. John 3, we're going to start in verse 14. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. Think of that. Just like Moses lifts up this bronze snake so that people get saved, he says, I am lifting up the Son of Man. God lifted up the Son of Man. He's lifted up high on a cross. So that everyone who looks to the cross, everyone who looks to Jesus can be saved. So often I've read that verse and I don't reflect on the staff with Moses with the serpent on top. But it's totally tied into it here. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. And then we go into verse 16. Some people think it's just the writer, John. Some people still think it's Jesus. It doesn't matter, but I love the truth here. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. That's probably the way you memorized it. I did too. But it should probably be in the same way. God loved the world. Just like that. Just like God raised up the staff so that people could be saved, We've got this happening, and God gave his only son in that same way so that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. And I was reminded by Jim the other night, don't forget verse 17, Jeff, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. And that's what we get to do together. That's our hope. Every day that we get Jesus with us, we get to go into a world and be difference makers because we have seen the differences in us. And when we realize what changes God has brought in us, then we want to exude hope and we bring a message of peace and we look for the alien, the orphan, and the widow. And it may be that guy at work who's really strange and he feels like an alien. It could be that single mom down the street. She was never even married in the first place, but she's basically living like a widow. It could be that little kid that seems like a hooligan on your street, and he just needs a father in his life because he's one of the fatherless. And you find ways when you're at the grocery store, in the classroom, in the office, and you make a difference. The people that I get to send out from Pioneer Bible Translators, we encourage them, we train them to make a difference. And it's really amazing how much time we spend with them before they go out. And it's too bad they didn't come to a place like Frederick so that they would learn it on the spot and be able to be difference makers in their own communities. You know, a lot of the people that we send out never learned how to make a community in their own or make a difference in their own community. And so we have to train them so that they can do it somewhere else. What a shame. You guys are making a difference in your own community. You have encouraged me so much. And so I truly do think of us as partners. Pioneer Bible Translators is going out among the world. You're doing it in your own backyard. And together, we all work to the glory of God, and we remember, and we look forward so that the Son of God will have people who believe in him and won't perish, but have eternal life. Thankful for you. Keep up the good work. You guys are going to be in my prayers. You're also going to be my examples. And when I need people just to go and serve in a community so they know what service really means because they never learned it back home and now they want to go to some other country, I'm going to say go to a place like Frederick. Learn how to serve and make a difference. May God bless you. Thank you for blessing me. Let's pray as we close. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for your message of hope. I thank you that we can partner together because we can reflect and we can see that there was a promise that you have been a God of promise through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob so that you could change and bring blessing to every nation on the earth. And God, there are nations that have sent their own people to this area. Washington, D.C. area has so many immigrants. And so I pray that this culture right here at this church will be able to take in the aliens, the orphans and the widows and continue making a difference. And I pray, God, that just as you lifted up the snake in the desert with Moses, that people will now see Jesus living right here in Frederick and they will see him lifted up and that people will believe because they see your faithful servants here. And as they see these faithful servants, we pray, God, that they will come into a saving relationship with you. They will love Jesus and serve him and not be condemned because you came to give life eternal. Thank you for allowing us to share with each other, to bring blessings and to bring hope. May your name be exalted in Jesus' name. Amen. Is it your tradition to have a song at the end as an invitation? All right, well, let's do that. So let's all stand together. And if you have any need or anything that you'd like to bring before the church, please come and as we stand and sing.